All right, now I would like to call this policy board meeting of the Capital Region Council of Governments to order at 12:05 p.m. It's Wednesday, September 18th, and I would like to open it up for public comment. Is anyone here for public comment today? Asking once, asking twice, and three times, seeing and hearing none. I'm closing the public comment portion of the meeting. We'll skip over the approval of the minutes until Laura tells me I can do that, and we'll jump into staff reports and turn that over to Matt.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's meeting. I know we haven't met in a couple months. I hope folks had a productive summer and that you all had at least a little bit of an opportunity to take some well-deserved time off. We've got the full staff report loaded online here, and I'm going to provide you with a shorter excerpt today. I'm going to introduce some new staff members, but before I do that, I'd like to introduce some new members of the policy board or incoming members of the policy board. First, we have Jeff Walker here in the room. Jeff is the City of Hartford's new Director of Development Services and is going to be joining the policy board. It'll be great to have him. You want to say hello, Jeff?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for welcoming me here. I've been on the job for about 4 months now, but prior to that, I was running the Infosys office here in Connecticut. And I've been involved with the Workforce Council and Ray CG, so I've been in this building quite a bit. So looking forward to working with you guys.
Good. Welcome, Jeff. And then I think I see him online now. We've got Jonathan Altschul, the new town manager in Newington. Welcome to the region, Jonathan. I know you've been able to attend a couple of our meetings, but it's great to have you as well if you want to say hello.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. My name's Jonathan Altschul, new manager as of about 6 weeks ago in Newington. I've relocated back home to Connecticut, where I grew up, from the western suburbs of Philadelphia, where I was a township manager in the suburbs there. Great to be here. Excited to be part of CROG. And thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Jonathan. So now, Mayor, I'd like to welcome some new staff members, some folks who joined us over the summer. First, we've got Dagmar Knoll, and Dagmar is a principal transit planner here at CROG, and she's coming to us with fabulous experience from the Wyndham Region Transit District. And I had a chance to work with her at the former Wyndham Region Council of Governments before that was disbanded as part of the state's consolidation. If you'd like to say hello, Dagmar, please do.
Hi, everybody. Thrilled to be here. Prague, loving coming into the capital city every week for work.
Great, great to have you. And next, I'd like to introduce Kim Bishop. And Kim is Prague's first ever Economic Development Coordinator. She will be staffing our Economic Development District and overseeing the implementation of our comprehensive economic development strategy. She's part of regional planning and development, headed by Caitlin Palmer. And Kim comes to us with great experience from the Metro Hartford Alliance, where she was the chief town officer. If you'd like to say hello, Kim.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having me, and great to be on the CROG team.
Thank you, Kim. And then last but not least, we'd like to introduce Tom Borden. Tom is working for us part-time as a principal transportation engineer, working with Roger Cron and Rob Eloise and others. Tom's got some fabulous experience as well, working in private consulting, but also near and dear to our hearts, he was the lead engineer in CONDOT's Project Development Unit. Welcome, Tom, if you want to say hello.
Yes, hello. Glad to be here and hope to work with you all soon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So very pleased to welcome these three new staff members to help support our region. Moving on to the next item, electric rate increases. I know this has been in the news as of late, particularly the public benefits charge. CROG's executive committee, and many of you are on the executive committee, discussed this in detail at its meeting on September 4th and decided to refer the issue to CROG's legislative committee, which will be convening in a month or so. And the executive committee specifically requested that the legislative committee focus on rate relief and the impact of rate increases on municipalities, which hasn't been discussed quite as much in the news as of yet. So that's how we're planning to handle this issue at this point in time, is we're referring it to the legislative committee to come up with some proposals for the full policy board to consider, and ideally would become part of our legislative agenda for next session. Next item, along with many other managers from across the region, I'll be attending the ICMA annual conference starting this weekend, and this year it's going to be held in Pittsburgh, which has made tremendous strides over the last 10 years, if you haven't been there. I'm going to have a chance to moderate a session on regional housing strategies, and I'm looking forward to learning some great tips and sharing with our team and our members. Moving on to the next slide, please. I wanted to provide you with some key project updates, if I could. So we kicked off a couple of projects over the summer. The first is our regional housing strategy. And Heidi Simokar is serving as the project manager for this one. We issued the RFQ. I think responses were due earlier this week. And this is a strategy as opposed to a study. You know, this is a part of what we envision to be a long-term effort. We're going to be looking at housing needs across our region more broadly defined. And not one size fits all methodologies. You know, we're gonna look at tools to help our towns out with their affordable housing plans. Certainly gonna conduct a lot of data analysis, but we're gonna look at things such as light touch density and a regional land bank, model regulations, any number of things. So we're really excited to get this project off the ground. And I know we've got a good advisory committee comprised of your staff from across the region. The next item, Heidi's also serving as the project manager on this one, recently issued an RFQ to kick off our regional stormwater authority study. Recall, we're getting a $250,000 grant from the state to conduct this project. He's looking at stormwater management needs from across the region, but specifically the feasibility of establishing a regional authority or utility here. And I want to thank the I believe 10 to 12 towns who volunteered to be more actively part of this study. It'll support the region overall, but we're taking a cross section of our towns where we're going to specifically analyze their data as part of this project. Moving on, our regional plan of conservation and development, our regional planning commission is going to open its public hearing tomorrow night on the regional POCD. Hopefully we get some good comments from the public on that. Our climate pollution reduction grants program, CPRG, unfortunately, our implementation grant application, which you approved last spring, recall the partnership with the Green Bank, was not selected. This was very, very competitive, only 25 applications selected nationwide. I do want to thank Kyle Shield from our team from quarterbacking this effort. Put a tremendous amount of work in. However, Connecticut DEEP and other New England states were awarded $450 million to fund a New England heat pump accelerator program. So we'll look forward to learning more about that and how we can leverage that initiative. Next slide, please. So next, I'd like to turn to funding opportunities. And for those of you who are new, we do publish a monthly grants newsletter. I want to thank Elizabeth Sanderson for her hard work to publish that each and every month. And here are just a couple of highlights. Through Elizabeth's efforts and other team members, we did recently host a workshop on direct pay, which is a really, really unique thing where municipalities and nonprofits for the first time ever are able to take advantage of federal tax credits to help fund clean energy projects. So this is something we certainly want to leverage. Our Municipal Services Committee discussed it yesterday, and we want to continue to build on this opportunity. Next, I want to congratulate the town of West Hartford and UConn Stores on their recent Safe Streets for All Awards. The town of West Hartford is receiving $3.1 million to install proven safety countermeasures, including automated red light cameras and quick build demonstration projects. So really looking forward to learning about West Hartford's experience there. And then the University of Connecticut is receiving $1.6 million to produce an updated safety action plan. And we were very pleased to support both applications. Want to highlight the DOT's Active Transportation Micro Grant. You can obtain up to $5,000 to advance safety for pedestrians and cyclists. This does not cover infrastructure. It covers things like bike helmets, training, accessible bikes for those persons with disabilities. So it's really a neat program. Would encourage you to check it out to learn more. And then last, I wanted to highlight two grant opportunities administered through DEEP. One is the Open Space and Watershed Land Acquisition Grant Program. I imagine many of our members are quite familiar with this program. It's been around for years. And something that I think is brand new, which sounds pretty neat to me, is an Urban Green and Community Garden Grant Program. And under that one, distressed municipalities and nonprofits and environmental justice communities can apply for funds to enhance or restore public urban gardens or green space. And both of those applications are due December 2nd. We'd be very happy to write a letter of support, help review an application if you'd like. So just want to highlight those opportunities. And then lastly, Mayor, next slide, please. I wanted to touch on some upcoming events as well as an event that occurred last night. So last night in the town of Ellington, and I want to thank first Selectwoman Lori Spielman and Town Administrator Matt Reed for hosting us. I thought we provided a very informative and well-received update to our residents on our work with CIFSIC, that's the Connecticut Foundation Solutions Indemnity Company, the captive insurance company that we helped establish to assist homeowners dealing with crumbling foundations. And CIFSIC has assisted nearly 1,000 homeowners in just a couple years' time. It's really an extraordinary accomplishment. There's still a ways to go. We had a really good update at Ellington High School last evening. Next item is a micro-mobility workshop and demonstration that we're gonna have here today, 2 o'clock at Croc. But those of you policy board members who were able to join us in person right after this meeting, you'll be able to take a demo if you'd like right outside, checking out the new scooters provided through VIA, who we've partnered with for this service. This technology is pretty amazing. It's come a long way from a safety perspective as well. So we'd encourage communities to check it out. On October 8th, we're going to be hosting a shared services workshop and forum here at CROG. Want to thank Peter Souza from the Town of Windsor and the Municipal Services Committee for sponsoring this. We're going to be featuring a number of our members who are doing very good things in the area of shared services, partnering with their local school districts, partnering with other towns, partnering with CROG as well. So you can RSVP on LinkedIn for this one if you haven't already, or email Laura directly. And then lastly, our Capital Region Purchasing Coalition, which serves almost 140 now of the state's 169 municipalities, will host its annual meeting also here at CROG at 8:30 a.m. And would encourage you all, those of you who have dedicated purchasing agents, please encourage them to attend this meeting so that they can obtain some informative updates. That completes my report, Mayor. I know it was a little bit lengthy, but we haven't met in a couple months. Happy to take any questions that you or other members may have.
Thank you so much, Matt, for the update. Does anyone have any questions for him? I don't see any hands. I got nothing. Looks like you're off the hook, Matt. Thank you. We do have a quorum, so I'm going to move back to this approval of the minutes really quick. If I could just have a motion and a second, please.
So moved, Madam Mayor. John Coleman Bloomfield.
Thank you, John. And do I have a second?
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you, Eric. Any questions or comments on that item? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you so much. Motion carries. I believe the next item is our legislative update onto item 5. And is John Harkins here?
I am.
Chris? Oh, hey, John. Mayor, how are you? Welcome.
Doing well, Mayor Stewart. How are you?
Well, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. As everyone knows, we're in an election cycle right now for the state legislature. So all the seats in the General Assembly are up. And we've been attending a lot of different events and fundraisers. And from what we're hearing is that the Senate right now, they're looking at three seats that are in play that may change. So currently we're at a 24 to 12, 24 Democrats, 12 Republicans in the Senate. And there's three Republican seats that are being hotly contested right now that can go either way. But again, a lot of this depends on national politics and how that needle moves. So we're watching that very closely. And with the House, it's interesting. Right now, it's 97 to 54, 97 Democrats, 54 Republicans. And we're hearing it could go five up or down either way. And there were some close races 2 years ago with some of the Democrat seats. And they think that they may change, they may flip. But there's other opportunities that the Democrats could pick up other seats. So we're watching that pretty closely. And we'll be going to many more events between now and Election Day because our calendar is being filled up with more invitations on a weekly basis. As far as electric rates are concerned, that still remains a big issue. As many of you know, there is not going to be a special session, but it's such a large issue. It's certainly not going away. And it's something that I'm sure you're all dealing with and hearing from various constituencies, but it's still a very hot issue. Post-election, we're looking at potential chairmanship changes. So there's folks that are looking to maybe make movements to another committee or maybe in leadership. So we're preparing for that also and keeping our ear to the ground to see who's going to be where post-election. Typically after the election, it's within like the next couple of weeks and into November, early December, that a lot of the chairmanships and ranking member positions are decided through leadership after they meet with the various members to discuss what their outlook is and what kind of positions they like to have. Something I like to bring up, and I know we're in the end of September, but time moves quick and we all kind of operate a season ahead because time moves so fast. So what I like to ask is that, you know, if anyone has any budget asks to start thinking about that now. A lot of people are starting to prepare their legislative agenda for next year. And I know that the CROG will be doing that also, but we want to get in line early and strategize as soon as possible to make sure that we're heard and that our asks are taken care of. Other than that, that's about it. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you so much, John. Does anyone have any questions? All right.
Mayor, this is Matt. I just want to thank John and his colleague, Chris Smith, for helping us out, take a critical look at the public benefits charge and related issues and working with the executive committee. Really appreciate it, John.
Thank you, Matt. Anytime.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the action items. I've got item 6, resolution to adopt our Capital Region Natural Hazard Mitigation and Climate Adaption Plan. This is an update to it. And I'll entertain a motion to adopt.
So moved, Madam Mayor. John Coleman.
Thanks, John. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Wendy Maxudis.
Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate it. And now I'm going to turn it over to Heidi.
Thank you.
I'm
pleased to be here for the concluding phase of this project. And in your packet, you have the resolution to adopt the Capital Region Hazard Mitigation and Climate Adaptation Plan. This is the region's fourth plan. Over the past 20 years, it's been updated every 5 years as required by FEMA. FEMA has approved this draft pending local adoptions. As of this morning, approximately 23 of our member municipalities have adopted the plan. We hope that those who haven't yet adopted will be able to do so soon and let us know if you would like either CROG or CIRCA, who was the consultant, to attend your meeting for local adoption. As you are aware, having this plan opens up funding opportunities that you can apply for, including through the Flood Mitigation Assistance Fund and also building resilient infrastructure in communities. Additional next steps after the policy board adopts the plan is that the Capital Region Emergency Planning Council will adopt at its October meeting. So today we are asking you to approve the resolution that's in the packet, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you so much, Heidi. Does anyone have any questions regarding this item? Seeing and hearing none, I'll entertain a vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is anybody opposed? Thank you very much. Motion carries.
Matt, we don't have a quorum.
Oh, Mayor, unfortunately, I was just informed we lost our quorum.
Oh, we lost it. Oh, shoot. All right.
Let's see if we can get it back.
You know, I think what we could do, Mayor, and I really appreciate everybody's time. We don't want to waste people's time. We work very hard to obtain a quorum for these meetings. We could do the presentation on our roundabout study if you'd like, Mayor. I know you and others need to drop off by one, and we'll do our very best to obtain a quorum by then.
All right. Well, why don't we do that? Then we will. So then we'll have to do item six again, right? Because we didn't have a quorum to vote on that. So we'll move on to the presentations, and we'll turn it right over to you for that, Matt.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, really appreciate everybody's time here. So we want to hold a short presentation, and Roger Cron, with support from Mike Cipriano, both members of our team, will take the lead here, but I want to kick it off. We conducted this screening study over the last couple of years to look at some of the most problematic intersections in our region and identify those that would be suitable for and benefit from the installation of a roundabout for safety purposes. And this is something of a signature project for Prague. It's been well received by the DOT. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to present it to you. I've really asked Roger and Mike to try to keep it at a high level and not go too technical in the interest of time. There are a few slides I wanted to highlight if I could, if you could advance up to the... Yes, so I'm sure many policy board members have seen the data that's produced by UConn's crash repository in collaboration with the DOT and others. And the data is very sobering, as you know. So a major reason, as I said, for conducting this study was for safety purposes, looking at the most problematic intersections here in our region. And what you're seeing here is the data for 6 months out of the year. And the last 4 years have not been good, as we know. And you see 2024, for July 1st, 169 fatalities. I think that number now is at 220, maybe a little over that. It's been a horrible summer here in our state. So this is the state overall. Next slide, please. The next slide just shows the Karag region. So you can see 47 fatalities as of July 1st here in our region. All right, Laura, I'm going to go quickly. Next slide, please.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So here are some of the statistics, breaking it down by person type. Driver and passenger, you see the numbers down a little bit from the previous year, as well as pedicycle, but that number is so small, that's minuscule. But some real troubling data for pedestrian fatalities and drivers utilizing a motorcycle or an ATV. You see those very marked increases there. So that's the state overall. Next slide, please. Oh, back up one. I wanted to show, and this is to the Karag region itself. Consistent with the state data, you see that decrease for drivers and passengers. Again, that's only 6 months out of the year. Pedicycle, the numbers are relatively de minimis. But again, look at the significant increase for pedestrians and operators of a motorcycle or an ATV. So I think we all know these numbers are really troubling. And it's not just here in Connecticut, it's not just here in the Capital Region. It's a national problem. We do think roundabouts, that's the type of infrastructure that could be very, very beneficial in helping to turn this situation around for the better. So just want to have an opportunity to quickly review some of the data with you. And I'm now going to turn things over to Roger and to Mike. Welcome, Roger.
Okay, thanks, Matt. So I'll very briefly go over what roundabouts are, what they are not, and then some results of our study. So on the slide there, you see what is a roundabout. It's a raised center island. It's a counterclockwise movement of the traffic. It's a that traffic enters with a deflected entry. It's that slows traffic down. The pedestrian crossing where the hatch marks there is before the point where it enters this traffic enters the circle. And then they have the raised splitter islands. So it allows pedestrian refuge and pedestrians cross one movement at a time. And you have a raised truck island. And then the next slide is the way it operates. Traffic moves around the center island, moves around very slowly due to the curved approaches. It yields to pedestrians before it enters the circle. There are no left turns compared to other intersections. There are no, basically, no head-on or broadside collisions. Therefore, a lot of potential for crash reduction. There are no stop signs, no signals, and it keeps traffic moving. And the next slide shows a graphic that's Federal Highway Administration has the statistic on the left that the graphic shows an 82% reduction. If you convert a regular four-way intersection with that doesn't have a signal to a roundabout, studies show 82% reduction in crashes. If you convert a signalized intersection on the left there, 78% reduction to convert a signalized intersection to a roundabout. On the right, the two graphics show one main reason why that is. The roundabout in the middle of the slide there shows the circle. There are basically eight conflict points with traffic that have a potential only eight places where one car can crash into another. Compared to a normal four-legged intersection, there are 32 crash intersection points. So that general reduction is a big reason why it's a proven safety countermeasure. And the next slide will show some things that are not roundabouts. And we want to use the term roundabout when we really mean a roundabout. Pulaski Circle in Hartford is not a roundabout. It's kind of a traffic circle. It's not a roundabout. The next slide shows small little traffic calming circles where on the four-legged intersection, there will be an island in the middle and calms traffic. That is not a roundabout. And the next slide shows rotaries. Here's a common one. If you go to Cape Cod, you see this in Bourne over the bridge, the big rotary. Rotaries are not roundabouts. So the modern roundabout are those elements that I just went through previously. So with that, we conducted this study. And roundabouts in our region currently, the yellow locations show some on state roads operating right now. I mean, on local roads, and the blue dots show those located on state roads. This was from a graphic on the DOT website. It might not be the very latest, but gives you a flavor for how many we have in our region right now. And so with that, some other examples, I think on the next slide are some photos, New Britain, Columbus Boulevard, another one, next slide in Granby, Route 202, another one on the next slide, Ellington, Five Corners, another one in Glastonbury, two of them on Hebron Avenue, operating, and then the next slide in Hartford, we're developing one under our lots of funding at White Street and Chandler Street. That one's in the design phase. So we, with that, and the big benefit, like Matt said, in potential reduction in crashes, we conducted a screening study to do it, identify the best locations basically on crash data primary. So on the next slide, basically what we did, we looked at data of the crashes of fatal and injury crashes over a 3-year period, the traffic factor, roundabouts need a certain amount of, are good for, these are single lane roundabouts that we studied, and we adjusted for traffic volumes, and then right-of-way factors, knowing that if there's a lot of right-of-way impacts, they're not going to be very feasible projects as just easy to implement projects. So with that, our top ranked locations, this is a snapshot of where our top 100, based on our this database screening, we have 48 in Hartford, New Britain, West Hartford are the primary locations in those urbanized areas where we have a lot of signalized intersections, 35 in other towns. And on the next slide, we show, this is what our image from our website. So when you go to our CROG website, you can click on this image, and then up pops a little more clear image on the next slide is our locations. And we have them, we have our top 100 on the green circles, our top 200 in the blue, and the pink is the top 300 based on the ranking. Knowing that some of our towns wouldn't pop up on those top 300, we did show the three highest rankings based on the screening for all of our towns, and those are the yellow dots. So you can click on those dots and have the basic information about the number of crashes and the volumes at those locations. And so the good thing is that there is a reduction in crashes predicted if you implement these roundabouts at locations. So there's, this is just one piece of the chart from our study at the back. In the right column, it says predicted number of crashes per year if you would change a intersection to a roundabout. And it varies like 1 or 2 or 3 crashes per year. These are serious injury or fatal crashes that would be reduced. And so with that, just kind of as the last slide, I believe practically is, if all of our, out of the top 100, we did a detailed feasibility analysis on implementation, and we recommended 61 locations, knowing that some have a lot of right-of-way impacts where they'd be hard to implement. If you would convert all of those to roundabouts, that I think the number was, if you go back once again, 160 some reduction in crashes per year, 164 per year. It would take a lot to convert 61 intersections, but the potential is there. So with that, this is a good study on the next slide that you, this can be used as good documentation. This is using the latest, like that crash prediction, the latest, it's called empirical Bayes analysis on reduction in crashes. It can be used for future funding opportunities. It shows the prediction of reduced crashes. It documents the locations. Feel free to contact me, Rob, as if you want to dig in and develop any of these as potential projects. And these would be great safe streets and road for all funding projects in the next 2 years that are still currently funded with the federal legislation. So with that, we did have that video.
Yeah, I don't think that. We have time for the video today, but we encourage people to look at the leisure. So Roger, thank you so much. Really appreciate your hard work over a couple of years on this this study. Mayor, we do have a forum, but Roger's happy to take any questions. You know, again, we want our towns to be able to utilize this study to advance their own roundabout projects. I know you're very proud of yours, Mayor.
I was literally texting my press people to do a post for a roundabout week as I'm listening to the presentation. I see a hand raised from Ryan.
Thanks, Mayor. Just had a question. The dot for Mansfield, which clearly would be a priority intersection of 195 and 44, the area we call our four corners. I was just hoping to confirm whether it was limited to that intersection or also included like 100 some yards away, the intersection of Route 320 in 195. So if it was that pair of intersections that CROG has identified as a priority, or if it's just the one intersection?
With 44 came up on the ranking by the numbers, but we are looking in detail. We're doing a little supplemental work based using the funding that was remaining after this study to look at both of those intersections. So We are looking at the traffic volume analysis so that we can work with DOT and see if we can advance that.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I don't see any other hands raised. Thank you so much for that presentation. We have a quorum. I'm going to move back to the action item number 6, back to adopting the Natural Hazard Mitigation and Climate Adaptation Plan update. We had a motion and a second on the table. I'm just going to ask to redo that whole thing. Can I please have another motion and a second, please? Better to be safe than sorry.
So move approval, Madam Mayor, John Coleman.
Thank you, John.
I'll second it again, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Any questions or comments on this item from before? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. I'm going to move on to our TIP amendments. I need a motion to approve item number 7.
So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, John. And a second.
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you, Eric. John, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In the interest of time, I won't run through them. These are basically fairly standard. The number one is a new grant for CT Transit. The others are just moving things around either from this year to next year because there's another different TIP, some are being removed because they were not needed anymore. But anyway, the Transportation Committee has unanimously approved them and so recommends the same to the Policy Board acting as the MPO.
Great. Thank you so much. Any questions for John? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. The next item, resolution for a roundabout screening study.
Move adoption, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a second?
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you so much, Eric. John, back to you.
This is the study that was just presented to you in brief form. The Transportation Committee unanimously approves the committee, this resolution seeks endorsement of the final report, and I would so move the motion.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. And the next item, John?
Madam Mayor, this is a resolution to authorize Matt to enter a contract with the firm WSP for the purpose of completing the warehouse land use and traffic study. This was also unanimously approved by the Transportation Committee, and they so recommend to the Policy Board acting as the MPO, and I would so move.
Second, Steve Stefano.
Thank you, Steve. Any additional questions or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That concludes our action items. We'll move on to Matt for any correspondence, handouts, or other business.
Actually, we don't have any correspondence or handouts today, Mayor, and no other business from staff.
Madam Mayor, I move we adjourn.
I'll second that. We're all in favor. Thank you. And look at the lovely spreadsheet that we have. Steve, are you on a golf course?
But, yeah, I was going to say, I joined for the quorum from a golf course for a PAL tournament. So.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye,
we're
all.
We're adjourned, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you all so much.
Bye-bye. Great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. I literally, wait, we should stop the recording. Oh, yeah.